Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. I'm your host, Noisera, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer, and I have titled this episode, Manufacturing Ignorance, the Parkland Shooting, and the Police State. That's right, we have all kinds of different things to talk about, and this episode was kind of rough putting together. Look at what we found ourselves. The world that we are moving forward into is becoming more and more chaotic. Isn't that the truth? A few updates before we get into the show. Make sure you're checking out the website, factionsoffreedom.gemda.com. And once you're there, get lost in the content. We have all kinds of different features coming out all the time. And if you want to help us get to where we're going, think about becoming a Patreon-exclusive member. It's $4.99 a month, 16 cents a day. Or if you just want to give us a dollar every month, that really helps us get to where we're going. We're always thinking of different ways to try to combat this. We have a fund coming up to start getting more video equipment and all kinds of other things that you guys should check out. But with that being said, let's get right into it. Thank you guys for tuning in. That's right. Another episode. Censorship, they still haven't got us. We're still putting out content, and we're still trying to bring you the alternative news that they tell you doesn't exist, the alternative opinion that you shouldn't go with. They call it alternative facts. Yeah, sure, whatever. We really need to look at all of the different things that are going on. You know, you start breaking it down, how we're changing from subject to subject every single week. What does that do to the brain? What does that do to us? You know, they're desensitizing us. They are literally trying to manufacture our consent, but at the same time, they're manufacturing ignorance. That is one of the themes, if anything, one of the things I wanted to point out with this episode. We'll talk about the indoctrination system. You guys have always heard me rant on education and really how I look at it. I'm not knocking people that have education. I'm saying you look at what it's become today. You should not be teaching kids, you know, this gender stuff. You should not be teaching them any of this social justice nonsense. The awakening process is definitely something that people need to go through individually. And then whenever we start to mainstream it and make it seem as if it's something that should be commonplace, we really have to look at, you know, what comes with that. But one of the things we're going to be getting into in this actual episode is really looking at the behind-the-scenes aspect of what happens whenever we just try to play stupid, when we act like these things don't happen. You know, why censorship is so important, why freedom of speech is so important, why shows like this are important, why the guests that we have on, why they are so important, why you, the listener, why you are so important, man, woman, ladies, gentlemen, shims, she's, you know, whichever politically correct term is appropriate this week. You are important because we are making change. And I wanted to point that out real quick to you guys. You know, the fact that I'm here in your life in this capacity talking about these types of things, this is a huge honor. It's a blessing. It's an honor. It becomes something very, very serious because you guys have seen us grow up. You've seen us change. You've seen us adapt to all of the different hurdles that they've thrown out at us. And it's just great being here. I can't lie. I love my job. I love you guys. I love doing this because think about this. We're making change. We really are. From some duct tape and PVC pipe operation, look at what we're becoming, man. I'm really stoked about that. With all the things that we talk about too, you got to think, we're only getting started at the same time, but I digress. What I wanted to really start out by saying with all this is you got to look at how they're desensitizing us. That's why we have this type of show, to where we can talk about these types of topics, these types of social engineering aspects that these people do. They try to manufacture consent, try to get you to think a certain way and be a certain way, feel a certain way. That's not the case. We've got to, and you hear me say this all the time, we have got to stay in a state of hyper-vigilance. Stay vigilant. Stay vigilant, because these people will try to mess with your mind, mess with your feelings, mess with your opinion, mess with what you think is right. And I'm here to tell you, if you're following the page, you know it's right. If you are a part of this community of people that I have met along the way of doing this, you are thinking right. So let's get into some of this. Last week, like I said, you know, it's crazy. Last week we were hearing about all kinds of flu epidemics, people, the humanities, all kinds of crazy stuff. Really, really weird stuff happening. The norovirus at the Olympics, the lethal vaccine season. And I started off this week by telling you guys, yo, this is not a normal, this is not the flu. It's a superbug. A flu does not kill, does not have an effective kill rate like this has. Yeah, I think almost 4,000 people a week are dying because of this thing. 5 children died in New York City because of the flu. A mom of 2 died after refusing the flu medication. This is the very, it wasn't Tamiflu. Oh, my mistake. It was Tamiflu. I put this up February 12th. It's from Charisma News. It says a teacher and mother of 2 has died from complications related to the flu after deeming the antiviral medication she was prescribed as too expensive. Heather Holland of Weatherford, Texas, fell sick last Monday and was diagnosed with the flu on Wednesday. Medics prescribed her Tamiflu, an antiviral medication that has been used widely during this year's flu season. Holland thought that the pills, quote, cost too much, according to her husband, Frank. She wouldn't go to get the medicine. She wouldn't go get the medicine because she's a mama. Mamas are tough, said Willow Park Baptist Church pastor Clark Bosher. Quote, she just kept going and she had a job. She had kids. Frank was going to be out of town for a day or two. I think any mom does that. I don't think she's being irresponsible. I don't think she thought that she was sick. It happened so quick. Tamiflu. This is the very same thing where children have been known to, not known, this is what we're hearing this year alone, that they're banging their heads up against walls, they're hallucinating, they're having dissociative effects due to this medication, and now a mom of 2 died taking it. This is some lethal stuff. And then End Times headline asks, why are people outside high-risk groups dying from the flu? It's a very confusing headline. Basically, why are people who don't have the flu shot, why are they at risk? Because at the same time, we heard a few weeks ago how you are 30% or 60% more likely to catch the flu from somebody who has been vaccinated. They're literally, they're dosing you up. Of course, you're going to get hit with it. This stuff is crazy. They already said that the flu shot itself is going to be like 10% effective. Right here, from Lock News Network, February 11th. Japan invents a pill that rids the flu within one day, but the FDA blocks it. Of course, there's no money in cures. You're silly. You're silly. Why would there be any cures and money? Or why would there be any money in cures? Sorry about that. Need to slow down. This stuff gets me hot. This stuff, it's real right here. The flu is causing 1 in 10 American deaths and climbing. It may kill 4,000 a week. A week. That is not the flu. That is the superbug. That is the biowarfare. That is what I talk about when I say they want to destroy the exterior world so bad that we willingly go into the matrix. This is what I mean whenever I say they will blast off into their near-orbit space, hovering right over us, unleash the biowarfare bug, and then, boom, just let it do its work. I mean, how many people line up for the flu shot? Itself. We're not talking about the HPV, we're not talking about Gardasil, we're not talking about any of these other kinds of shots that Bill and Melinda Gates have. No, we're talking about just the flu itself. This is why I have a huge problem with vaccines, with the vaccine agenda, with Big Pharma, with what they consider the global health security agenda. If anything, if we have time, we'll get into that. We'll get into some of this Parkland shooting stuff as well. I forgot to mention that to you guys. There's a lot of things I want to go over in this actual in this episode. We'll get into the Parkland shooting, the Las Vegas shooting, this mysterious white powder that was sent to Julian Assange, Barack Obama, and Vanessa Trump, as well as how, you know, we had a former Canadian prime minister, I think, no, a former Canadian official come out and talk about how the Illuminati is real. We'll get into all of this stuff, but I really wanted to start the show by breaking it down. Talking to you guys, how is it that we're able to switch up from so many different topics all the time? Because we are being hit wave after wave with different parts of chaos, different parts of an agenda. But let's look at this right now with the flu and how this is affecting us, manufacturing ignorance, so to speak. Everybody thinks it's okay to get the flu shot. Not a whole lot of people understand it. But then they must understand that a 10% effective flu shot this year will cause at least 4,000 deaths a week. Right there, Big Pharma panicked as vaccinated children keep dying from the flu across the U.S. I put this up February 7th. It's on our website. It's via your newswire. We really need to look at this. We're gonna look at this clip real quick, where a North Dallas man is talking about his fingers and toes being amputated, and what that really means. Like, why are these things are lethal? Why are people having detrimental effects to seek these cures? Because they're not cures. You're allowed to have a natural response to these sicknesses that go on, but the minute we become dependent upon the system is the minute that they can slide in these different types of drugs, these different types of chemicals, these different types of cocktails that have detrimental effects on us. We've got to think what they're trying to do to us. That's why they tell you, obey the system, it's okay, get your flu shot, don't worry about it. You're a hippie if you want to try to eat healthy food, if you want to try to take care of your body, if you want to, ingest salads, if you want to have a vegan lifestyle, if you want to do anything that's, natural. Nah, you're just weird. You don't need to actually have a natural built-in immune system to combat these types of things. You need to trust the government, and the government will provide you with everything that you need. Let's take a listen of this. The Dallas man has his fingers and toes removed after receiving the flu shot.
Flu epidemic. A Dallas man is preparing to lose some of his limbs. He got the flu more than a month ago, and now he's battling a life-threatening condition.
Now, tomorrow, doctors will amputate his fingers and his toes, and today, the 33-year-old spoke to News 8's Damon Fernandez. At this note, some of these pictures are pretty graphic.
I got there at 12 a.m., and by 3 a.m., they were telling me that I only had 24 hours to live.
It's been a rough month for Joey Smith. The 33-year-old's now stuck at home.
From the flu came sepsis, then pneumonia.
His hands and feet black, blue, and bandaged.
The two middle fingers are basically all the way down to the knuckle.
Smith calls this a devastating and painful condition after a recent flu diagnosis.
All the fingers are basically going to be amputated.
The North Dallas man told me he's not exactly sure how he caught the flu late December, but the signs and symptoms had him concerned.
Start feeling dizziness and weak.
Now to the deadly flu epidemic.
That's crazy.
A Dallas man is preparing to lose some of it.
That is literally crazy. Could you imagine going in for, your flu shot, and then, a few hours later they're telling you, you only got a few hours to live. We got to cut off your fingers and your toes. That's a reality for this type of, for this man. That's how lethal this virus really is. You got to think, and this is my opinion. I think because they are literally, because it's having so much of a devastating effect, I think that other things had to preoccupy the media. I mean, the Russiagate story blew up, the Pfizer memo blew up. They're just getting, you see what I'm saying? They're all getting exposed. And then this happens, so many different people are dying, children are dying. There's 10% effectiveness. They know that they really can't control these types of things. They needed to cover it up. And that's why we have this Parkland shooting and all kinds of other stuff as well. But one thing that kind of intrigues me in relation to all of the health and the medical stuff that's going on is, after us understanding that around 4,000 people have died, per week because of this influenza, Donald Trump is now saying that he's going to treat the opioid crisis with law enforcement instead of treatment. So not only do we have rampant superbugs that are going out there literally devastating populations, the American population at least, we also have Big Pharma basically being hunted by law enforcement. So obviously they're all in it together. What I'm trying to say is they're trying to desensitize everybody. They're trying to get us addicted to drugs. They want us on a mental plantation that they can control. I mean, why is there a Starbucks on every single corner the same way there is with a McDonald's? These are chemicals. This is a way for them to control your health, control your mindset, control your potential. And that's a lot of what you guys see us try to cover on the show in depth, is really break down what the human potential really is, how powerful we really can be. We talk about it all the time, fasting, things like that, fasting, prayer, meditation, very, very spiritual concepts in this very, very lost physical world. We have a lot of chemical stimulants floating around everywhere, but very, very little pharmacies, and I say that with an F. We have a lot of pharmacies, pH, A-R-M-A-C-Y, but we don't have a lot of F-A-R-M-C-A-C-Ys, pharmacies. I messed that one up. But you guys get what I mean. We don't have a lot of pharmacies rolling around. And you guys have heard me on the show as well. I love my steak. You see me transitioning to really try to, if I'm going to be here for a while, I should really take care of my body. And that's why you don't really hear me push anything from Big Pharma. Screw Big Pharma. I'm not pushing any vaccines. I'm telling you to take care of yourself the old natural way. And I'm sure they'll eventually have something that does affect us, because occasionally I get sick, but I treat that myself with some teas, some orange juice, and some turmeric, and a lot of other, supplements and things like that as well. I might have to start, writing down my health regimen for you guys. And you guys have heard me talk about this as well. I'm trying to find a system cleanse and a chemtrail detox that we can promote here on the show to get people aware of these types of things. We really got to understand that the human body is it's the temple. We got to take care of the temple. They're trying to mess with the biochemistry of the planet as well as the biochemistry of people. And if we don't really try to take our health in our own hands, we become literal slaves to this system. So let's take a listen to this real quick, where Donald Trump's talking about the opioid epidemic. You heard me talk about this before, and this is back in October of 2016, I think around the same time as whenever we heard that Amazon got their pharmacy license to where they could basically distribute medicine. And at the same time, Donald Trump is like, hey, we have an emergency with this opioid stuff here. We got to do something about it. But it's okay, let's grant Amazon, the license to literally ship people their medication. Let's take a listen.
During the opioid crisis, a national public health emergency under federal law, and why I am directing all executive agencies to use every appropriate emergency authority to fight the opioid crisis. I learned myself. I had a brother, Fred. Great guy, best looking guy, best personality, much better than mine. But he had a problem. He had a problem with alcohol. And he would tell me, don't drink, don't drink. He was substantially older, and I listened to him and I respected, but he would constantly tell me, don't drink. He'd also add, don't smoke. But he would say it over and over and over again. And to this day, I've never had a drink. And I have no longing for it. I have no... Effective today.
Yeah, okay. Well, I won't lie to you. Obviously, I like a good whiskey. But my point is this. When looking at this type of stuff, declaring that the opioid epidemic a national health emergency, we're looking at the war on drugs. We're looking at how Big Pharma is literally making money off of you whenever you go to the doctor and you tell them that you need a prescription for something, when you need your hydrocodone, your oxycodone, your whatever they are, whatever witchcraft spell they come out with today. That's what it is. They're trying to hook you on it. I know places like Seattle, they have injection sites. I think Washington does. There's literal places where people can go and just shoot up in public. I think a lot of what this is to just do that. It's to desensitize us and to manufacture ignorance, to say that it is okay to disassociate. It is okay to do these types of things. I mean, you look at the person who has a coffee mug, a soda, a cigarette, all kinds of different pills. And they call people that, want to take the alternative route, where they have Sheila Jit, Kratom, and medical marijuana. they call them the drug addicts. My point is this: they're trying to literally get us addicted to something, to be in control of something. But my problem, to kind of bring this to a point with you guys, my problem in treating the opioid crisis with law enforcement, I'm curious as to what that means in relation to actually solving the problem. Does that mean he's going to start rounding people up? You have people who are dying from the flu and who go out to go seek these other pharmaceutical solutions only to become addicted to them. And now we have you possibly being locked up because you're trying to treat an addiction that's been fostered and nurtured by Big Pharma. It is a vicious cycle. But let's read this. This is put up February 10th. It's from The Mind Unleashes by John Vibes. It says, Trump says he will treat the opioid crisis with law enforcement instead of treatment. It says, in a recent speech in Ohio, one of areas seeing one of the worst effects from the opioid epidemic, Donald Trump said that he plans on treating this problem with more of the same toughness that has been failing for decades. At the speech this week in Cincinnati, Trump said that the heroin problem in America, quote, has never been worse, adding that people from Blue Ribbon communities, they do everything they can, and frankly, I have a different take on it. My take is that you have to get really, really tough, really mean with the drug pushers and the drug dealers. I'm saying get tough on Big Pharma. Arresting drug dealers will do nothing but fill prisons up with more nonviolent offenders, as they will simply be replaced by competitors as soon as they are taken off the streets. As long as the financial incentive is there for people to sell drugs, there will continue to be drug dealers, and it is the prohibition of drugs that increases the price and thus the incentive to get involved in the drug trade. It is also a fact that the rise of fentanyl is a direct result of prohibition of heroin. And this is what's strange is we actually heard a few weeks ago how the Chinese were trying to smuggle in fentanyl into America through our mailing system. It's crazy. But a new trend of cutting the drug with the very strong post-surgery painkiller fentanyl is largely to blame for the recent spike in deaths that are occurring around the country. Fentanyl is approximately 80 to 100 times more potent than morphine and roughly 40 to 50 times more potent than pharmaceutical-grade 100% heroin. In the black market, one of the major drawbacks is that there is no accountability among the people selling the drugs. Since anyone can get kidnapped and thrown in a cage for even dealing with the stuff, it really doesn't make sense for people to be plastering their names and logos all over the drugs. In the age of corporate mercantilism, logos and branding may seem like a really tacky idea, but when looking back at the black market, we can see the value in such things. Someone who is selling a product with their name on it is going to go through far greater lengths to ensure the quality of their product as opposed to someone who would remain anonymous. And so this is what I mean by Big Pharma pushing their drugs. We have to look at how it doesn't matter how you're getting the drugs. The fact is that they're being manufactured. The whole premise behind Breaking Bad was the fact that a teacher can literally quit his job, science teacher, and have access to these types of equipment, everything that they need to do it. And people are going to find a way to do drugs, unfortunately. People don't want to stay stuck in this world. They will find a way to disassociate. But what we've got to look at is how that is being propagated. Do more drugs. That's what we're told. Don't think, don't build, don't construct, don't do anything with yourself. No, don't worry about trying to actually, you know, end the drug problem. Don't actually ask yourself, you know, why are people literally getting sicker? Don't try to actually change your behavior, change your health habits. No, you need to just buy some more drugs. You just need more fentanyl. You need more Tylenol. You need more hydrocodone. No. You don't need to sweat it out. You don't need to regenerate your immune system. You don't need that shot. They just tell you, you need more of this and you need more of that. And then whenever you develop more of a dependency upon these things, you see where this is going? That's the problem when we really look at this type of stuff. And the reason, if anything, to preface all of this type of stuff, how we have an entire society hooked upon drugs, it's getting worse with the children. It's getting worse with the kids. I'm sure it'll come out, you know, the same way it is with Stephen Paddock, how they're on some kind of psychoactive drug, you know, they're on some kind of hallucinogen. He wasn't right in the head. how long before we're all not right in the head because of how many different drugs they push on us? We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about this Parkland shooting. Again, some of the similarities with the Las Vegas shooting and how these are all just false flags. There's other things that have been going on as well, but what I think is happening is they are slowly ratcheting up the chaos before letting the hammer fall. So like I said, we're going to talk about this and more when we come back. This is Freedom Faction over here on Factions of Freedom. Stay tuned. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Thank you very much. It is always a pleasure. I kind of went off on Jack, as I typically do whenever, you know, I come in the show, because I come in real hot. I got a lot that I'm trying to get out. I'm really trying to tell you guys so many different things. There's hardly ever enough time. That's why we have two different shows. And if you haven't noticed, it's that week again. We are going to be over there with On the Wake Up Radio, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and that's 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you guys can listen to us. We'll have a link up in the website and over on their YouTube live. You can call in with questions. It's going to be great. A whole lot of different things. A whole lot of content for you guys. That's what I'm saying. I'm really honored to be in this position. We have grown so much from just some little operation to where we are today that it blows my mind. And it's really thanks to you guys. If you didn't have the faith in us to really expand and pay attention to what we're doing, we really wouldn't be able to continue to expand. I mean, it's only because of you that we are literally here, right there, Fellowship and Freedom. Every other Sunday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, you guys can call in with your questions at 678-603-4393. I'll put all this information in the links and everything below so you guys can stay tuned to it. But we have a show here that we got to do, so let's go ahead and do that one. Like I said, we're going to talk about this false flag shooting, the Parkland shooting. This is some crazy stuff. I'll put it to you this way. Whenever I first saw this pop up, I didn't really react to it because there are so many different shootings happening across the country at all times. I hate to say it, but that's how desensitized I've become to looking at these different types of shootings. Like, there's always different shootings. But why is this one so important? Why is this blowing up? So let's listen to this clip right here. Many dead, mass shooting at Florida high school leaves at least 14 victims, former student in custody after horrific attack.
Our breaking news, terror in Florida tonight, where a school official has reported numerous fatalities after a mass shooting inside a high school in Parkland. That's just north of Coral Springs in Fort Lauderdale. A suspect has been taken into custody and is believed to be a former student at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. We're hearing at least 14 are being treated in hospital after a situation officials are calling horrific.
There are numerous fatalities. It's a horrific situation. It's just a horrible day for us.
Now, several other victims were treated by paramedics. The school superintendent was not able to confirm if a teacher was among the wounded. Students say a fire alarm was pulled moments before the gunfire.
As soon as the fire drill got pulled, the fire alarm got pulled, and kids were evacuating, I heard five pops. Like, that's not a drill.
All I know is that's not a drill. So if you guys listen to some of the interviews with some of these students, they actually talk about how they thought that this was a drill more so than anything. They said that, you know, there's a lot of strangeness surrounding this, that it's becoming much more regular. Nobody's really like getting aware of this. Like this was all kind of planned. Let's break this down real quick. I'll read this. This is from the Daily Sheeple. It's by Alex Thomas. It says, a former student at North Broward High School in Florida opened fire at the school Wednesday, killing at least two students and injuring more than a dozen more in what is being described as another horrific mass shooting in America. While details remain fluid, what has been released so far paints a picture of a horrific attack carried out by a disgruntled former student who police arrested without incident shortly after the attack. The Miami Herald reports, an American nightmare is unfolding Wednesday afternoon in North Broward High School after a former student came onto campus and opened fire, killing and injuring more than a dozen people. Details remain cloudy amid a flurry of police activity at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland off Sawgrass Expressway. Students who heard a fire alarm go off just before dismissal, followed by gunshots, fled off campus and hid under desks as police sped to the scene. Parents blocked from getting onto the campus stood by helpless. So let's look at some of these clips real quick about these kids right here. These kids that get saved by SWAT. They're sitting in there, and you can see one of these girls is like literally terrified, her hands shaking. The kids, they're shaking. Put your phones away. Because, no evidence, for one, if this was a drill. They don't want any evidence of it. And two, you know, you got to think these are people who are traumatized, who may have seen something. Like I said, so some of these kids that are here in this actual... at the actual school, they talk about some of the weirdness surrounding this. They say, yeah, you know, this kid, he totally would be the one to shoot up a school. And you go, and we'll look at some of his Facebook and Instagram stuff as well, and some of the curiosity surrounding that. But they seem like they have a perfect patsy. This kid's joining resistance groups. He's doing all kinds of other strange stuff. Total red flags. Red flags across the board. Apparently, he wasn't even allowed to bring a bag to school. How do you go to school and not bring a backpack? How does that work? That's how much of a threat this kid was. The FBI, they had already talked about him. They had been warned about him. And then, you know, it's a perfect patsy, if you ask me. Like I said, we'll find out later on in the future about how he was on psychoactive drugs, a sedative. You know, he was disassociative, he was crazy, and we'll look at some of this stuff as well, but you've got to realize how they can set up the perfect straw man, the perfect patsy, so they can conduct these types of things. What's even wilder, and I'll see if I can try to get some of these clips up for you guys, but apparently people talked about how they saw multiple shooters. We're only hearing about Nicholas Cruz. We're not hearing about how there's multiple shooters involved in this type of stuff. You see. So let's look at... right here, Florida shooting pre-planned. Let's see if we can get some of these, some of this up running for you guys.
About a month ago, we had the faculty and like teachers. They had a paper about code red, code black, and stuff, telling us that this is, if so and so happened, if this happened, what to do. So basically, we went over a code red, which is gun on campus. We went over that about a month ago, and there was rumors going on in the school that there would be a fake shooting to see how the students would prepare for it and stuff like that. We went over that about a month ago, and there was rumors going around the school that there would be a fake shooting to see how the students would...
Now that's sketchy. A code red and a code black. So they're like already planning for a shooting to take place, mind you. Months ago, they were planning for some kind of shooting to take place. So let's look at this real quick. And if I can, I have something that's going to kind of creep you guys out. I meant to play this at the start of the segment. It was a quick message from Zach, Zach of UC Fitness. He basically had a message for you guys. And for the people who are hardcore fans of the show, who know who Zach is, and when he comes on, and when and what we kind of talk about, apparently he had a premonition about just this shooting alone. Apparently he saw. I don't want to say he foretold it, but he says that in the episode prior to where he was on with his cousin, he talked about one of his visions where he was basically as a kid at school. It was Valentine's Day. There was stuff all around. He was just there. And then the next scene, you know, something dramatic happened and he was outside. I'll see if I can get some of that stuff up for you guys here in a few. But let's really break down who this kid is, I think his name is Nicholas Cruz. Who is this Nicholas Cruz person? A lot of curiosities are surrounding who he is, what his intentions are. You know, already you have him saying that he's connected to ISIS. You know, he says Allahu Akbar all the time. He's part of all kinds of different resistance groups on Facebook, yada, yada, yada. So, before we get into this, I want to play for you guys that quick clip of Zach talking about his premonition, basically. Because for me, when these types of things pop up, I think that they need to be literally underlined. So there's a lot of different things to try to put together. You know, this girl talking about how they planned for this stuff months ago. People talking about how there's multiple shooters. You know, Zach saying how he foresaw this, but why is this so important? What is going on with this particular event as to why it's causing so much chaos?
All right, man, I'm hoping this works. All right, I'm going to summarize as much as possible because I don't know if you'll get the message, and I want to make sure it gets all the way through. Long story short, on your podcast, you and I and Stefan were talking about everything, and I told you at the end, I was like, man, I got to relay this message. I had this dream. In this dream, on January 26th, I walked into a school, and I was in the hallways, going from the hallways into a classroom. And the classroom was nothing but people coloring on Valentine's Day themes and drawing hearts, and it was all about Valentine's Day in the dream. I wasn't really sure why I was in there. No reason to recollect at that time either. I seen a couple people I thought were from work. I walked up to someone who was like a manager sitting at a teacher's desk, gave me a paper and just a color, you know, basically, you know, color Valentine's Day stuff. So from that point, if you remember, I went and I don't know where I was outside. And from that point, I was immediately looking at the sky. As I was looking at the sky, this golden, like, eye figure type of thing. It was orange, gold. It was huge. It had, like, a cloak over it. It was passing through some clouds, and then it came back out. When it came back out, it ended up going and gave me a message. And the message, you know, basically was to warn people what's about to come. And, you know, I had no, at that time, when I related to you on the podcast, I still had no idea what that meant at that time either. But I had it, like, I know I was so overwhelmed to share it with you. And, you know, I just felt like in the dream, it made me feel, or the feeling of, if I don't, there's repercussions for it. So fast forward to the 12th of February, Monday, I believe Monday. I had a dream in my mom's old house. Family was there. Everything was going on. Everything was functioning, but something had happened. We were all bunkered at my mom's house. I was in the basement. I was going to the basement. I heard my dog barking and kind of crying. And I was trying to figure out what was going on. As I went to the basement, there was a big hole. It's huge. I can't explain how huge. I'm talking about 20 feet wide, long, if not longer than that. My mom has these, she used to have these stock, like, aisle carton things that, like, you hold food on both sides. And it was kind of laying over that along with a dresser. You know, obviously, these were long dressers, but it was the dream. And my dog was on top of it. She was stuck. So I saved her. I got her upstairs. And as I did, a message came from this hole. After the dresser and the stock thing fell into the hole, which I couldn't see anything. It was just a hole that was to never end. The message from the hole said, it doesn't matter. You know, time is up. It's too late. That was the message I received. I woke up shook. I woke up scared. I woke up all over the place. I was at the end of my bed just trying to get myself together. Trying to put this into the best understanding and simplify it down for you as much as possible. The dream I had on January 26th with the golden cloak or eye, I woke up peaceful. It felt of God. With this dream I had on the 12th, waking up, I felt worried, scared, shook up, disoriented, bad headache, the whole nine. I've been trying to figure out what they meant. How could one dream give me a warning and another respond to the first dream like that? You could tell me in my first dream, it says, you know, warn people what's about to come. The second dream, and that's from the sky, that is. The second dream is coming from a hole in the ground. It looks like it's going to hell. I don't know where it takes you to, saying it doesn't matter. It's almost too late. Time is up. The reason why I'm connecting the two, man, is because if you take the things into consideration, I was in a hallway at a school. I was in a classroom. People were drawing Valentine's Day theme. I just told somebody at my job on Monday when I had this dream about the hole, man, I hope nothing happens on Valentine's Day, man, because this dream feels like it corresponds to the dream I had a few weeks ago. Lo and behold, Valentine's Day comes, and we have a mass killing at a school. You were big on, you know, telling me to find ways to connect my dreams with things that are happening in the world, and I've done that. I firmly believe I was given a warning before I had the chance to know that this was going to happen yesterday, one way or another. And I literally believe that either angel and a demon or God and the devil were corresponding with each other with me about a message. Now, the things that come to mind is, how do you go and figure out how to warn people of something like that you don't even know? What measure do you go? What outlet do you use? How will you get censored? All those things, if you even knew. But the thing I took from it all is that I'm being spoken to. And I don't know if it's from the fact that I used your platform and it's giving me more hindsight. I don't know if that's just a coincidence. I don't know if it's all a coincidence, but I don't really believe in them given all the stuff I've dealt with. So it's hard for me to say. But I needed to share that with you, man, because I looked up the dates. You know, counting forward from the 27th to the 12th, it's exactly 17 days. 17 days, 17 deaths confirmed for the high school of people that died. The number 17.
And that was Zach literally, you know, letting you guys know. I just figured I'd flat out let you guys understand all that. And I'll be having him on the emergency transmission for Instagram Live later on today to continue his message. But when we're looking at this type of stuff, we really have to understand how many different factors are involved with just this alone. We understand that the Illuminati are heavily involved in things like numerology, cosmology. They really pay this. They pay attention to these types of things, with the school to the location to everything. This is the perfect patsy. You know, you also have people like ISIS connecting it, Antifa connecting it, white nationalist supremacist groups, all kinds of different things. But why? Why are they trying to blow this issue up? Why was Zach literally having visions about this type of thing? Realize that over like 200 people were injured at the Las Vegas massacre that we really haven't even gotten to the bottom of yet. But we already have another mass shooting. On Valentine's Day, mind you, there's got to be something similar to that. There's got to be some kind of symbology behind this type of stuff that we haven't seen yet. I mean, when this is all unfolding, it's hard to really break it down on how it really affects us. I mean, realize just earlier this week, there was an attack at the NSA. Somebody drove a van into the NSA to try to do God only knows what. The same time we hear about how there's a mysterious white powder going around to Julian Assange, Barack Obama, and Vanessa Trump. They're trying to stoke the fire. Like Zach said, were these two different conflicting messages? Was this the devil saying that it's too late? Or is this saying we're right on time? These things, they have to unfold to get us to where we have to be. We all have roles to play. We all have jobs to do. But if we don't really take a step back and look at how everything is happening all the time and what we can do to try to stop it, or at least help those who actually want to stop it affect change in your immediate surroundings, we can't move forward. So like I said, pay attention to that. You know, we have the Fellowship and Freedom Show coming out this Sunday, and then we also have the emergency transmission with Zach coming out as well, to where we can break down some of his stuff as well. There's a lot of different things going on. But let's get into this Parkland shooting with the times that we have. Right here, I think this is very, very crazy. You literally have them creating two different social, like multiple social media accounts after and before the shooting. He had his own account, and I tried to go look this up. Cruz Nicholas, that you see right here on the left-hand side. And what's even stranger is he has a date put into his bio. And then on the one that they created after the shooting, the fake one, they literally put the date of a few days after in there. They're literally trying to play a character up. Like I said, build up the straw man. This is just some kid. Like I said, it's the perfect patsy. They knew about him for a year. They trained about this stuff a month ago. They say that a fire drill was held earlier in the day. A lot of people think that it was premeditated. You know, and they also think that he pulled the fire alarm to try to lure kids out, you know, to start shooting people. Hey, you see right here, you know, this is just some kid messing around with guns. This is some really, really messed up stuff. And a lot of this, if you ask me still, is a distraction. There was a bill that came out where they were basically targeting patriot groups and militias. Like I said, we still don't know what's going on with the Mandalay Bay shooting, the Las Vegas shooting. They are trying to make it to where everything that we see is chaotic, to where you can't trust anybody. Everything's paranoid. Everybody doesn't trust anyone. Right there, Florida shooter inspired by ISIS. The Florida high school shooter was reportedly inspired by ISIS, given his alleged Instagram account making references to Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. There's been a lot of different curiosities surrounding just this case alone. Because this is how these false flags work. This gives them a chance to talk about gun control, push the police state, you know, crank down on these types of things. Like just the other week, we heard about how school police officers are now considered school resource officers. So whenever they're out there pal driving your kids, or putting them in headlocks, they're doing it for the safety of the school. Whenever they're walking right up to the parents, asking them, hey, do you have your shots? Does your child have their shots? And they jump at you. They're school resource officers. This is what happens whenever we embrace this authoritarianism. This is what happens whenever we have a tyrannical system gone rampant. The FBI, they knew about this kid. Let's take a look at this clip right here of some of these kids who are actually in the middle of this shootout.
Holy.
Crazy. He's like, our school is getting shot up. No, not gonna. Okay.
Holy.
There's bullet holes in the computer. And then over here we have another clip of where these kids are finally getting out of the actual school itself. And you got to think, this is really traumatizing for these kids. This is not a drill. This is not like something that's passive. These kids are being traumatized live time. That's why that gives them the perfect reason to say, you know, we need gun control. These are kids that are going to be up on Twitter, that are going to be traumatized for the rest of their life by this incident. It doesn't want to play this clip. Of course it doesn't. Of course, it's because I actually want it to do something that it doesn't want to do something. These are people that are going to be traumatized by this event for the rest of their entire life. And it's sad to say that these people are in this situation. I mean, who knows for sure if this is a false flag or if this was a kid just spun up wild. With what they do to kids these days, who knows? You see, like, that's where I kind of get lost. Is just like they wind these kids up, they tell them it's okay, they give them all the. And now they're being escorted out. Not really even being escorted, they're running right out. There's one thing I wanted to point out here with this clip with you guys real quick. Because, you know, this is that kid being, the school being shot. And then right here, Douglas in my prayers. Now, I'm not sure if this person's dead, but that looks like some blood to me. What I wanted to address with this clip itself right here is how a coach actually jumped out and shielded himself in front of the actual killer, in front of the kids. And I think that's very admirable. Those types of people, they need to be commended for their types of heroic actions. But it is a tragedy that these types of things are happening in the first place. They're gonna push, you know, stricter gun laws, more gun control. But it's not about the guns. Like I said before, at the start of this, with the vaccines, okay, listen to me. Like I said, at the start of all of this, 4,000 people a week because of the flu. How many die every single day that we don't know about because of the vaccines when they try to cure them? If they start talking about gun control, we need to start talking about vaccine control, because it is running rampant. 4,000 people a week because of the flu, because of some hopped up virus that they've messed with, versus some crazy kid. You got to think about this. Our priorities are messed up. You really got to think about this. They'll push all this until we're blue in the face, until we're black in the face, saying, oh, we need tighter gun control laws. No. You got to think, a lot of these mass shootings didn't happen until about 30 years ago. The same time frame we started not disciplining kids. The same time frame whenever the state started coming into your house telling you how to raise your kids. Have you made that correlation? Columbine too. Discipline and the lack thereof. Self-discipline, self-moral standards, any of these types of things. All of those things coincide with one another, and it's all because of the gradual degradation of society, the slow degradation of society. These kids thinking they can go play Captain America or go play Batman or go play the Joker. We have children. We got a lot of people out here who are disassociating from reality. That's why I let in with all the drugs and everything else they're doing to the kids, doing to people. That's manufacturing ignorance. But at the same time, look at how that's affecting people. That's why these mass shootings are occurring. We got kids that are hopped up on all kinds of drugs, disassociating from reality, playing all kinds of video games. And then you know what? They say, I'm going to go shoot up a school. This is all right. I did this before. I played Call of Duty. I know how this works. Except this is real life. We have an entire wave, an entire generation of people who the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the DOD, whoever decides to use these at-ready patsies, who already have the carbon cut out for what they need, stays at home, likes radical stuff on Facebook, plays all kinds of warfare games, takes all kinds of pharmaceuticals. You are a useful idiot to these people. You don't understand the depths at which these people operate. More is going to come out because, like I said, we're only hearing about how there's one shooter right now. Well, there's reports coming out of how there's multiple shooters. There's kids there that are talking about multiple shooter. Right here, the FBI was warned. Shock and anger after Nicholas Claus was charged with, or Nicholas Claus, St. Nick, Nicholas Cruz was charged with 17 counts of murder. Nicholas Cruz, the 19-year-old orphan with a troubled past and a fascination with weapons and resistance groups and an AR-15 rifle, was charged with 17 counts of premeditated murder this Thursday morning after being questioned for hours by state federal authorities following the deadliest school shooting in the U.S. in 5 years. 14 wounded survivors were hospitalized as bodies were recovered from inside and around Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. The AP reports Nicholas Cruz, still wearing a hospital gown after being treated for labored breathing and weighing in at 5'7" and 131 pounds, was ordered held without bond and booked into jail. Cruz's former classmates thought that they were having another drill Wednesday afternoon when a fire alarm sounded, requiring them to file out of their classrooms. That's when Cruz, equipped with a gas mask, smoke grenades, and multiple magazines of ammunition, opened fire with a semi-automatic weapon, killing 17 people and sending hundreds of students fleeing into the streets. It was the nation's deadliest school shooting since a gunman attacked an elementary school town or an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut, more than 5 years ago. Quote, our district is a tremendous state of grief and sorrow, said Robert Runcie, superintendent of the school district in Parkland, about an hour's drive north of Miami. Quote, it was a horrible day for us, Victoria Oliveira, a 17-year-old junior at the school, said. Cruz was expelled last year because he got into a fight with his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend. She said he had been abusive to his girlfriend. Quote, I think everyone had in their minds if anybody was going to do it, it was going to be him, she said. Cruz was captured not long after Wednesday's attack in Florida. Michael Nembhard was sitting in his garage in a cul-de-sac when he saw a young man in a burgundy shirt walking down the street. In an instant, a police cruiser pulled up and officers jumped out with guns drawn. All I heard was, get on the ground, get on the ground, Nembhard said. He said Cruz did it, he was told. So this is the type of stuff I'm talking about. Orphan kid, literally being apprehended. You know, there's no family. There's no one to care for him. It's sad. At one level, it's really sad to see this. But I'm still trying to figure out when we're going to get more information about these multiple shooters and more information from the people who were actually in the school and some of the other curiosities surrounding this. But all of this stuff, the same way we're hearing about this, while we're here talking about all these types of things, how three people were shot after intruders tried to ram the NSA compound gate, we're not hearing about this. We're not hearing about the powdery substances that are being sent to these government officials, you know, how this is going to spark something. Whether or not, you know, because it's all political theater, yes it is, I agree, but this is still stoking the fire, stoking the air, creating a climate of chaos. You see, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about, you know, how all of this stuff, how it affects us. You know, how there is a bill targeting patriots and militias. How you know, people like Antifa, all these jerks that are doing these types of things, how they're really, you know, messing up the party for everybody else. How we have to pay for all the mess ups. This is why they're going to talk about gun control. This is why they're going to put police officers in school. This is why they're going to have curfews. This is why they're going to have lockdowns, basically, on the country. Like I said before, in relation to the wall, we think we're trying to keep people out. Really, it's to keep us in. It's easy getting out. You don't want to stay in here. America is literally turning into a little bit of a concrete jungle itself. It's crazy. But like I said, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about this and more. This is Freedom Faction, a Factions of Freedom. You guys stay tuned. I'll talk to you soon. And we are back. Final segment. Rah. Getting ready. Because it's really crazy trying to break all this stuff down and put it into a coherent manner. You know, how do you talk about the fact that they are literally poisoning us with the vaccines, with the chemtrails, with the GMOs, with the super flu, the super bugs, and all these other things. And then on the offhand side, we hear how, you know, drug enforcement's going to be enforced, but that's going to create all kinds of different problems. Oh, but don't worry, because the kids, you know, like this little 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz kid that's being involved in all this craziness, who knows what he's on? How do you explain all this stuff? Every single day to every single week, it gets kind of wild myself trying to break it down, but, you know, it's this is where we're at. This is what 2018 looks like. This is what happens when society slowly begins to lose its mind, or whenever they let these things happen. It might sound wild, but Where we go from here is insanity. Let's look into this article right here. New federal bill targets patriot groups and citizen militias as domestic terrorists. And I've talked about this. I knew it. When this popped up, I read it. I said, I knew it. 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 Antifa, you started this. You started this, Antifa. I knew it. You know, it's only a matter of time. With a name like this, Factions of Freedom, Freedom Faction, it's only a matter of time till they come after us. And this is why I'm like, it is an honor to be in this position and to still be able to broadcast and talk about these types of topics in this capacity. Let's get into this article. This is from the Free Thought Project. It's by Matt Agarist. I put this up February 12th. It says, an ominous new bill is targeting millions of peaceful Americans who identify with being a patriot by lumping them in with extremely rare violent hate groups. It says the Domestic Prevention Act of 2018, introduced this month in the House, is making, quote, patriot groups and citizen militias uneasy, and for a good reason. It is specifically targeting them. As the bill's summary notes, the purpose of the legislation is to, quote, authorize dedicated domestic terrorism offices within the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation to analyze and monitor domestic terrorism activity, and require the federal government to take steps to prevent domestic terrorism. So what happened with Nicholas Cruz? Continuing on, it says, while on the surface this sounds like a rational idea, when we dig deeper into the bill, we discover that what they mean by, quote, preventing domestic terrorism, according to the FBI, the definition of domestic terrorism is, quote, individuals and or groups inspired by or associated with primarily U.S.-based movements that espouse extremist ideologies of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature, end quote. And the FBI notes that specific examples of two crazy individuals in Las Vegas who killed police officers in 2014, for example, the June 8th, 2014 Las Vegas shooting, during which two police officers inside a restaurant were killed in an ambush-style attack, which were committed by a married couple who held anti-government views and who intended to use the shooting to start a revolution. The bill associates those deranged murderers with the, quote, patriot label. However, what this bill fails to mention is that these supposed patriot movement domestic terrorists were actually banished from real patriot groups because they were on a police payroll and known to be provocateurs. So I'm going to stop right there and read that line for you guys one more time. However, what this bill fails to mention is that these supposed patriot movement domestic terrorists are actually banished from real patriot groups because they were on the police payroll and known to be provocateurs. So when I say Antifa, you started this, I say Antifa, you started this, because you guys did. George Soros funds you the same way he funds Black Lives Matter, Indivisible, and all of these other groups that pop up. You're funded. You're paid for protesters. You're not real. You don't got a real cause. You don't know what you're standing for. You're out there causing the problems because these types of things happen. Bills that target us. They target real people. Call me a patriot if you want to. I'd be proud if you said so. Not a statist, but I do love my country. Okay? But that's what happens whenever you have people that want to try to stand up and do something for everybody else. You know what? Let me break this down before I get into some of this other stuff real quick. Let me break this down. We have a lot of people in our country, in the nation, that want to tear the nation down. That's why, and I thought this was crazy. You know, they said that Black Lives Matter, this feminist movement, Antifa, radical leftists, and all this other crazy stuff. And I know I sound like a crazy person or somebody that's involved in politics, and I don't. All these different groups that basically hate our country, hate America, hate everything, you know, they're basically saying, I will house this radical deconstructive ideology of America, and we'll destroy this from the inside out. We have people that are working inside and outside the country to destroy it. It's crazy. But what they don't understand that they're doing is they're, like I said, they're messing up everything for everybody. You're causing all kinds of chaos, and everybody has to pay the piper. We're all going to be affected by this because they want to destroy us. We don't realize how that's just going to push the police state into overdrive. Let me finish up this article so we can move on with other stuff. As the late Will Gregg wrote, after the Millers murdered three people, Las Vegas Metro officers Alan Beck and Igor Soldo and Joseph Wilcox, an armed citizen who heroically tried to stop their rampage, their former handlers claimed that they were unaware of the couple's anti-police sentiments. I'm sure. This is how you get martial law started. What they're basically trying to do is get it to where people are so radicalized they think that it's the revolution time. Revolution is going out there killing cops, doing all this type of stuff. I think we all have different versions of what a revolution is. But I just know my version of the revolution only endangers those who decide to conscript with me. These people who sign up for these Facebook groups and think that they're a part of some kind of Facebook militia, that's a problem. Because these are people who can't disassociate from the digital world versus the physical world. This is why this season alone, you guys are starting to hear me go out more. We got to start connecting with people. We got to start networking. Don't just think because you joined a Facebook group and you're a part of some, you know, freedom faction group over there on Facebook, that it's time for us to go out there and start, you know, killing cops, killing people, and saying, I did it for freedom faction. No, you didn't do that for me. I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't tell you to do that at all. I actually told you to sit people down, wake them up, correct them, give them the facts, let them understand what's going on. We want to really start change. We got to vote with our dollars, vote with our lifestyle, start making change immediately. People like this Nicholas Cruz and all these other patsies that they have, they think that they're trying to do something good for advancing a cause, advancing ISIS, you know, trying to take it to whatever. But it's because they're confused, they're misled. We've talked time and time again about how they set up patsies. That's what they do. Right here, boom. Las Vegas shooter was on a sedative, hypnotic, a mind-altering psychiatric medication. Of course. Of course. Las Vegas shooter, and I put this up February 12th, it's by World Truth TV. It says Las Vegas shooter Stephen Paddock was taking mind-altering psychiatric medications at the time he carried out the Mandalay Bay shooting, reveal autopsy records obtained by Las Vegas Review-Journal. Quote, amounts of nortazepam, oxazepam, and temazepam, which are consistent with the anti-anxiety drug Valium, were found in his urine, a toxicology report shows. The Review-Journal reports, no alcohol-related chemicals were found in the autopsy, according to the report. The local paper also explains one of the documented side effects of taking psychiatric medications. Diazepam is a sedative hypnotic drug in the case of diazepines, which studies have shown can trigger aggressive behavior. Paddock's blood also contained brain-damaging heavy metals like lead and mercury. Surprisingly, toxicology results also reportedly detected arsenic, lead, selenium, and mercury in Stephen Paddock's blood, according to the report. Mercury is well known to cause extensive neurological damage that can lead to aggressive destructive behavior. These findings only add to the mystery surrounding the October 1st mass shooting tragedy, which nearly all intelligent observers who aren't brainwashed by the fiction-pushing media have concluded to be nothing, have concluded could not have been carried out by a single individual. Now, the fact that Paddock's body carried notable levels of a sedative hypnotic drug combined with brain-damaging heavy metals only adds to the skepticism about the official report. Psychiatric drugs linked to nearly all mass shootings are linked to nearly all mass shootings, ironically enough. So I'm going to stop right there because, you know, this is beating a dead horse. This is ridiculous. What is the point of all these shootings, of all these mass shootings, these false flags? Is to put you in a state of fear. To put you in a mindset to where you don't think you can ever do anything else. It's to keep you in a state of subservience, into a mindset to where you're not a threat to the system. You're too afraid to step out of line. And if you step out of line, they have a bill for that. They'll target you. We've talked time and time again about your citizen threat ranking, things in relation to the technocracy, this minority report reality that they see them creating. Why are they creating all these different shootings? So that they can retroactively do things. So that they can retroactively say, oh, see, look, we made that bill because we knew that Americans were going to get crazy. So now we need to go out there and go arrest them. People don't understand how deep all this stuff really does go. Like I said before, if they want to try to control something, control the vaccines. Control Big Pharma. Control what they're doing with GMOs, with Monsanto. Guns? That's a way for us to protect ourselves. This kid was clearly a problem. A way bigger problem than the guns themselves. But they just wound him up. They let him go. But then again, who can really predict these types of things? Really. At the end of the day, who can really predict whenever that person's going to have the day? He's not going to send out a text and say, oh, I'm going to go do it. We're not there yet. But these types of calls for gun control, for predictive policing, for all of these different types of things, this ties into the New World Order. This ties into the Illuminati. This ties in to what they're trying to do, to where they can have the society that is always monitored, to where they can have the facial recognition software, to where they can tell, hey, look, this guy's looking very disgruntled. We need to send a team over there to go take care of him. Former Defense Minister Paul Hellyer talked about how the Illuminati is real and how they are secretly running the affairs behind the scenes. And I don't need to tell you guys this because you already know. In so many different ways, you already know. And the reason why I wanted to point this out real quick is so we really underscore what kind of world we're living in. They're externalizing the hierarchy. This is what I mean by this TV reality where we have Donald Trump as our president. This is what I mean by them trying to figure out a way to gauge society in real time. We talk constantly about how they use social media as some kind of entity to really manipulate society, to engineer society. This is, all of these things are interconnected. This is what happens whenever we live in a 24-hour society. Like I said, who can tell that this kid was going to go out there and go shoot up a school? You don't send a text for that. There's no code for that. You see what I'm saying? There's no Pizzagate keywords for that. How do you predict these types of things? Yet these guys can have fire drills months in advance. There's a lot of different things surrounding just this Parkland shooting alone, and we'll definitely continue to monitor it the same way we have been with the Las Vegas shooting. But what we've got to understand is these cases, these really do just show like how authoritarian things are becoming and the intentions behind them. They would prefer to have these kids literally jailed. I mean, I think it's even crazy the fact that they have police officers at school. But then, you know, situations like this arise, and then they say, oh, well, it was justified. It was needed. We needed to have police officers at school. Of course. We need our school resource officers. Like, think about this. Think about that. That is the prison industrial complex. That is what happens whenever we let whenever the state takes care of your children. Whenever the state tells your child what is right, what is wrong, how you live, how you eat, what you do. Going to school in a police state. Better watch out for the pepper spray. You know, they're like actually training. They are literally training teachers to respond to the active shooter drill. That's what I think is also kind of not so much frightening as it is just like alarming. It really does put into perspective like how far down the rabbit hole we've really gone. These kids, the ones that they hype up on drugs and they send to school, or they keep locked up in school for like 6 hours of the day, they can hardly sit still, and they just tell them and they fill them up with radical stuff. It's crazy. It is literally crazy what they are doing to children alone. And I think the fact that people don't take a step back and look at how that's going to affect future generations, like what they consider education at that point, is it really worth all that kind of drama, all that kind of trauma? Right there. Let's see if we can get this clip up for you. Training teachers for active shooters. Because this is the type of stuff... This is the type of stuff that I'm talking about. They already know the kids are so on edge that they'll... defending students against school shooters, that they have to do something about that.
So right here we have Tabitha's going through the character selection screen. We have different types of characters. Suspect comes with rifles. Suspects can be adults or children.
It's like a million other video games you've seen, but this one is no game. It's meant to simulate what happens when a gunman enters a school.
The suspect's going to go in and start creating some chaos. The teacher will show you how the teacher can respond to that with the students by taking different actions, lining them up against the wall.
It is difficult to watch, but the programmers say this simulation can save lives.
A lot of these features allow teachers to test out things that have been tried. For example, Virginia Tech, they found that barricading the doors worked very well. So this gives different school districts the ability to try out different things, see what works for their given environment.
The goal is to give teachers, administrators, maybe even police the opportunity.
So right here we have
this is the police state.
Through the character selection screen.
This is the police state. This is how we're treating children. You know, this is where we're going. And I at a deeper level, you know, I don't really even know what to say about this. I really don't even know what to say about this. We put police officers in school, and now we're starting to train teachers to handle the kids in school. What do you even say about this? How is that teaching? How is that education? You should be worrying about, you know, whether or not you're going to get a good grade, not whether or not you're going to survive. They always tell you, look out for the quiet ones. It is crazy. Or have they been that successful? Have they really been able to disassociate that many people from reality? Have things really gotten that bad? Are kids that messed up? Is it from all the medication they give them with their ADHD treatment, with their Valiums and their Adderalls and everything else? Are kids that messed up because of Big Pharma that they literally have to like train the teachers to watch out for people who come back seeking revenge? But what's even crazier than that is they don't want us to talk about that. They don't want us to point these types of things out and really look at how dysfunctional the world has become. Like I said, this is whenever they talk about people being radicalized on the internet, this is basically what we're talking about. People that have been radicalized on the internet and see these types of stuff. I don't want to say I've been radicalized. I want to say I've been informed. But you have swaths of people out there. Like I said, Antifa, you started this. Swaths of people out there who see some stuff up on the internet and they think it's that way. And because we're living in an echo chamber style reality, we don't really ever hear dissenting opinions. And when we do, we have cognitive dissonance, and then it shakes us. This is what I mean by legalizing lunacy. This is what education has become. This is where we're at. This is why we have got to learn to stay informed, stay vigilant, and not let these people try to get to us. Boom. Let's take a look at this article real quick. Obey Big Brother. News Corp CEO wants the alternative media censored so the mainstream media companies can control the flow of information and make more money. Of course, this is censorship. This is censorship. This is what happens whenever people like me get squeezed out. I put this up February 12th. It says, in a shocking admission by a high-level mainstream media operative, the CEO of News Corp has revealed that major media corporations are pushing the likes of Google and Facebook to censor the alternative media, despite the fact that the vast majority of Americans have little to no trust in the establishment press. The comments made by the CEO of Rupert Murdoch's publishing arm, Robert Thompson, were revealed in an AFP report about the so-called, quote, dysfunctional online environment in which reality actually refers to a free internet where independent reporters can reach the masses themselves. Amazingly, Thompson not only made clear that the mainstream media wants to censor the alternative press, he even admitted that it not only has to do with the control of information, but also straight-up money. AFP reports, Thompson said that the steps announced by Google and Facebook to stem misinformation and improve the quality of online news were, quote, modest steps towards changing a digital environment that is dysfunctional at its core. The bot-infested badlands are hardly a safe space for advertisers whose brands are being tainted by association with the extreme, the violent, and the repulsive. Thomas said News Corp is seeing growth in online visits and subscriptions to its media properties, such as the Wall Street Journal and the Sun of Britain, but also noted that a potential return of journalism would be far higher in a less chaotic, less debased digital environment. A longtime critic of the dominant online companies, Thompson said he welcomed the decision by Google to end a first-click-free requirement for news items in search queries, as Facebook's efforts enable readers to know more about the sources of articles on its news feeds. So I'm going to stop right there. People who trust Facebook, people who trust Google, people who trust all these other places, this is why research is so important. This is why information is so important. Whenever they can control what you see, control what you think, control what you feel, that's a problem, because you no longer literally have an opinion of your own. You're no longer entitled to your own thought process. It becomes manufactured. Your ignorance becomes manufactured. You obey Big Brother. You become a statist by default. You don't have any differing opinions. That's why having open discussions about this, meeting with your fellow man, your neighbor, having discussions about what's important, is just that. It's just important. We don't say these things to sound cool. We're not trying to sound cool. We're trying to talk about how live time, every week, these people are messing with our minds. They are messing with reality. They are trying to change how we see and perceive things. And unless we actually call them out for the things that they do, they get away with it. We are living in a struggle for sanity in a world that has gone insane. And what's even worse is people would prefer to act as if these things are never even happening. And I think at a deeper level, that scares me more. Because not only do we have a lot of people who are disassociating from reality voluntarily, we have people who are involuntarily unaware of how they are already opting out of a system or opting into a system that further seeks their enslavement. This is manufacturing ignorance. The Parkland shooting and the police state on Factions of Freedom. However, that's all I really have for you guys. I know I kind of jumped all over the place, but it's important that we really do look at how many different factors are surrounding the things we find ourselves in. I mean, with just this shooting alone, you know, there's eyewitness accounts of a second shooter, multiple accounts of different things. This reeks. Like I said, we still haven't even gotten to the bottom of all these other curious things that are taking place. And there's so many other things, so many different questions that come with this. What are we being distracted from? What else is going on? Is it this new bill? This is what happens when we live in an authoritarian time. It's not about the politics of the left and the right. That's all political theater. They're trying to play you. We need to look at the bigger picture of what's going on. But I digress. As I said before, that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as always, guys, stay vigilant. Expose lies and share truth. This is Noise Era, Freedom Faction, out.